safety, Lord, for a place that we can keep it warm. We appreciate that, Lord. Lord, pray just please give us a good day here at church. Lord, pray just give Tim the words to say as he teaches us this morning. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Later the preaching will be here. Lord, pray just lead and guide there. Lord, help us try to get something from you today. Lord, help us not just be here to check a box, but Lord, I pray that you help us to be sincere in what we hear and what we do. Lord, I pray you just give us the rest of our day here. Church, thank you. Son, you can Christ. Lord, thank you for the salvation we have. Amen.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead and open up your Bibles this morning to Psalms chapter number 12. Yes, I have a mustache. Yes, it looks ridiculous. My wife made me do it, so you can blame her. This class gets a little boring from time again, so if you ever get bored and want to fall asleep, just look at my upper lip and that'll keep you going. Psalms chapter number 12. Some of you just realized.
You're a new man.
I don't know about that.
You got a new faith. You've had it since you were six.
The mustache?
Yeah.
Psalms chapter number 12, verse number 6. The Bible says this, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now the question is this, this class is based upon manuscript evidence. Now the question is God holy? Is God pure? Is God perfect? Well, let me ask you this, if those things are true, are not God's words perfect? If God has perfect words, where are they? Because it used to be back in the day, they would, of course, always say that you have to have the original manuscripts, and people would put their faith and trust in the original manuscripts. Now, what is a manuscript? A manuscript is basically scripture that's written down on something from ancient times. So basically from around the time of Christ till now, that would be considered a manuscript. Now, the question is this. Where are the original manuscripts? Where are the original letters that Paul penned in ink and gave to the churches in Asia Minor? Nobody has them. So if nobody has them, how can we say that, well, I'm putting my faith and trust for all matters of faith and practice, I'm putting all my authority in the original manuscripts, yet nobody has had them, and nobody's had them for a very long time. So what they did is they tried to pull a Kansas City shuffle and say, well, we don't believe in the original manuscripts anymore. Now we believe in the original languages. Because they don't have original manuscripts. They don't have the letters that Paul wrote of the New Testament. So therefore, they say, well, we believe in the original languages. And here's the reason why they do that. Because they have big heads. Do you know Greek? Do you know ancient Greek, known as Koine Greek? We'll get into this. Koine Greek is extinct. It's not even used anymore. If you go to modern-day Greece, they don't speak the Greek of the New Testament. They have deleted, I believe, at least over half of their vowels. They're down to two vowels, I believe. They got rid of the other three. They only have two vowels now for everything. So even if you went to Greece, even if you knew modern-day Greece, it does you no good in deciphering what the New Testament says in ancient Greece. Do you know Hebrew? Do you know Aramaic? Do you know Syriac? Do you know Coptic? Do you know Armenian? I mean, we can go on and on and on. Do you know Latin? Another dead language, if you will. See, the thing is, this is what Christian scholarship has done over the years is, I could probably say this right now because there's not a lot of people in here. I know Koine Greek better than anybody else in this room. So now I'm the authority. But that's exactly what scholarship does nowadays. I know it, you don't. I'm above you. So therefore, if you want to know what God said about something, you have to come to me. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like the Nicolaitae of the book of Revelations of, I'm above you, I'm a popish person, if you will, because I know something that you don't. And you're not smart enough to get it. Now, if God's perfect and if God has perfect words, don't you think that God is able to preserve perfect words forever? And how about this? Not just in a dead language of Koine Greek or the dead language of Latin, but in your language that you use right now. See, the thing is, the reason why churches, universities, seminaries do not want you to have a Bible. They don't want you to have a firm foundation in which to build your faith upon. They don't want you to have a final authority. That's because they want to be your final authority. Listen, I know Greek pretty well. There are a lot of people that know Greek better than I do. And guess what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that I went through school and Josh and Caleb went and Phil went and your pastor went and we all went through 3 years of Greek and we all passed and we went through Hebrew as well. That doesn't matter. You know why? Your Bible's written in English. If you understand fifth grade English, you can understand your Bible. That's it. There's not this Nicolaity of, well, only scholarship can understand, and I have to define it for you. That sounds a lot like the Roman Catholic Church of yesteryear of, if you want to know what the Bible says, because nobody knew Latin back in the day. You remember back in the day when all the masses were held in Latin, and you had no idea what they were saying because you didn't know Latin? That's kind of what they're doing now with the Bibles. Well, you don't really know what God said because you don't know Greek and Hebrew. Well, if that's the case, if we don't have definite words, if we don't have the pure, perfect words of God, if the Bible isn't true, why are we even here? Honestly. Because if the Bible's not true, if one word in that book that's in your lap is false, I'm leaving. I'm quitting. I'm done. Because this is all farce. This is pointless. Let me ask you, how do you know about Jesus Christ? How do you know about salvation? How about heaven above or hell below? How do you know about eternity? How do you know about rewards, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble? How do you know about any of that? Why are we even here? You're here based upon one fact, that you have the perfect Word of God, period. And if you don't have that, why are we here? Because then what it turns into is, well, what I think the Bible means and what I think the Bible says, and my opinion is this. To be honest, I've had to put up with your pastor for a long time now, 34 years. I don't really care about his opinions when it comes to philosophy of life. You say, how could you say that? I want the Bible. Amen. Because the Bible is what changes me. Amen. Yep. Listen, he can't spank me anymore. I'm bigger than he is. He could try. I think I could whoop him now. I'll just shoot him. Go ahead and say it. I got a gun now. The point is that the Word of God is what is going to change people. Not philosophy, not psychology, not opinions, not the news media, not social media. It's the Word of God. And if you don't have the Word of God, you have nothing. I mean, really, not just putting aside labels of denominations. Do you know how few people read their Bible? I mean, I know Bible believers who don't read their Bible. Let me help you. If you don't read your Bible, you're not a real Bible believer. Because how can you believe something in which you do not read on a regular basis? Amen. Hallelujah. That's good preaching in Sunday school. I mean, it all goes back to Genesis chapter number 3 when the devil shows up on the scene in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3 and he says this, "Yea, hath God said." You know what Christian scholarship is? The same exact thing. Didn't God say, didn't God mean this? And the whole point of this class is to show you of how crooked Christian scholarship is and how the fact that the only reason why quote-unquote new versions of the Bible come out are to make money. I mean, you want to see something. What's great about the internet is you can find everything you want to know on the internet now. You know, I was looking in years ago to the ESV, and the ESV is the new Bible of our day, if you will. It's the new NIV, if you will. You know, it's what all the non-denominational churches want to use nowadays because it's superior, it's easier, yada, 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 all these opinions about what's better. And at the end of the day, so it's made by Crossway, who is owned by Good News Publishing. And when Good News Publishing, when they first put out the ESV back in the early 2000s, the company was worth about $6 million. $5 to $6 million. And this is from their tax returns they did, by the way. Do you know what they did last year? Almost $70 million in business. And you know what's funny? You go back to their original statement of faith of why they're a business. It's to let Christ be known and to publish Christian literature. No, it's not. It's to make money. How do you go from, I mean, in 20 years, you go from $6 million to $60 million. And it's just for Christian literature? No, you're trying to make a buck. You're pushing on everybody else that, you know, this Bible is replacing the King James Bible. What's the problem with the King James Bible? You know, I always thought it funny that in school, you know, you still go to public schools. You know what they still teach in English literature in high school? Shakespeare. Why haven't we updated Shakespeare? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? That's ancient, man. Why? Let's update it. Modern vernacular. Romeo, where are you at, Romeo? Yo, Romeo. I mean, like, seriously, why don't we update it? You would be a heretic if it comes to scholarship, if it came to anything, you know, in modern intelligence or education. If you change that to modern vernacular, you would be labeled as a heretic. But if you do it to the Bible, you're a scholar. And you can make money. Psalms chapter number 12, verse number 6. Pure words that are purified seven times. What does seven mean in the Bible? We don't have time to go over this right now, but numbers mean something in your Bible. And when you change the numbers, guess what happens? You lose the cross-reference. The number seven in your Bible is perfection. It's completeness, if you will. It's completion. So yet we have here that the Bible, our pure words, purified seven times. Do you know how many times your Bible's been purified? Oh, it's just ironic that that happened, correct? You have Hebrew, the language. You have Syriac, then you have Greek, Aramaic, then you have Latin, then you got German, and number seven, English. Just a coincidence, right? Just so happened that it turned out that the languages took that turn throughout the course of human history, if you will. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Let me ask you something. Are these promises or are these just, you know, words on a page? I mean, God promised you that he was going to preserve his words from this generation, talking about when David wrote the book of Psalms, till forever. So that's true. If God is able to preserve words, where are they? It's fine if you want to say it's the ESV, the NIV, the New King James, the ASV, the RSV, the Douay Rheims, whatever it may be. But you need to pick a side at the end of this class. I'm not saying you have to be King James only. But I don't know how you could pick anything else at the end of this class. I'm trying to come into this so you're not biased. Come into this class with an open mind. Be liberal when it comes to this class, okay? Have an open mind of, why do I believe the King James Bible? Or maybe you don't believe the King James Bible. You're confused. You've never really heard the statement of, why should I believe the Bible? What's different about the King James and all the rest? Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 23, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Then where is it? I mean, if those are promises on a page, if those words mean something to God, where are his words? I mean, so let me get this right. If you're born again this morning, if you're saved, what do you believe is going to happen when you die? Do you believe that God, supernaturally, is going to preserve your soul forever in heaven? How can he do something with something so complex as a human soul, but he can't do that with words on a page? That's what's funny about all this, is that Christians, modern day Christians, will believe that God is going to get them to heaven, that they're going to leave their body here, and God is going to take their soul all the way up to heaven and preserve it there forever. You believe that, but you can't believe that God can preserve his word for you today in 2026. Go to Psalms chapter number 17. Psalms chapter 17. We are going to hit all the things in the book of Psalms real quick. There are a lot of references in your Bible that tells you about the words, that tells you about the Word, that tells you about the Bible, about Scripture, and what is associated with those things. Look at Psalms chapter 17, verse number 4, concerning the works of men. By the word of the lips I have kept me, by the word of thy lips, excuse me, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. So what does the Bible do? Well, the Bible can keep you from the path of the destroyer. Look at chapter number 18. 18 verse number 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. Go to chapter 33. 33 verse number 4. For the word of the Lord is right. And all His works are done in truth. Look at verse number 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts of them that breathe by the breath of His mouth. So the heavens are made. Creation is made by the word. I mean, you go all the way back to the very beginning when it was just God Himself and that's it. In nothingness. No matter. No universe yet. No planets. No air. No nothing. Just God. Wrap your mind around that. And how did He create everything? Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2. How did He do that? He spoke it into existence. See, the thing is, words matter most to God. Do you know how easy it would be if God, you know, this is how Christians think. We think that God should make us a coloring book because, you know, we like images more than we like words. Color by number. How great would that be if God could give you a coloring book that would show you how to get to heaven and everything you need to know just from a coloring book of images? God did not give you a YouTube video to show you how to get to heaven. He gave you black ink on white pages. Look at Psalms 119. The whole chapter of Psalms 119, the longest chapter in your Bible, if you will, is mainly about the Bible. What do we find out about the Bible in Psalms 119? Look down to verse number 9. Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. How does a Christian get clean? The word. Look at verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. How do you prevent yourself from sinning? The word. So the word is your defense, but it's also your soap, if you will. It's how you get clean. Verse number 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. By thy word hath quickened me. For thy word hath quickened me. Look at verse number 81. The word quickens. Verse number 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Your hope comes from the words of God. Look at verse number 89. Here's a great one. Verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Where's the Bible at right now? Let me ask you this. If that verse is true, if verse number 89 is true, is the Bible in heaven right now? What version is it? What language is it in? No, this is something to think about. I want you to think about it. Because the Bible says, forever, thy word is settled in heaven. So let me get this right. The Bible's in heaven right now. What version's in heaven? Is it the ESV, the NIV? It's got to be the Amplified Version, right? Or the Living Bible? You got to read the Living Bible. That's a great, great version. I mean, you talk about like making things easier. The Living Bible's where it's at. We're going to get into that. You're going to enjoy that. Verse number 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to get out of darkness? The best way to do it is your Bible. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word. You want to know how to live from day to day? It's your Bible. Verse 140, the word is very pure. Verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. It helps with meditation. Verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of time. Do you realize that God has batted 1,000%? Not one lie. Can you imagine that? Try to go a whole day without telling a lie. Then try a week, and then a month, and then a year, and then a decade. And then go forever without telling a lie. Not one word. 162, verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. It causes joy and rejoicing. 169, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. It gives great understanding. 170, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. The word gives deliverance. Look at chapter 138. Psalms 138, verse number 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You know what modern day Christians have done? They've done the opposite of verse number 2 there. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is great, but what does the Bible say? That he's magnified thy word above all thy name. That means that your Bible is more important than the name of Jesus. Your Bible is more important. Because without your Bible, you don't know Jesus. You have no idea who Jesus is. You have no idea how to get to Jesus. Let's go to John now. Go to the book of John. John chapter number 3. Why do words matter most? Why does the word matter so much? Because without the Bible, without Scripture, you have literally nothing. I mean, you talk about having life support as a human being, as a Christian. If you don't have a Bible, you have nothing. I'll take it even a step further. If you do not use your Bible, you have nothing. If you don't believe your Bible, if you don't try to live what the Bible says, if practice what your Bible says, if you don't read it, if you don't study it, if you don't memorize it or hide it in your heart, you have nothing. Listen, I've known Christians that were in church for decades without reading their Bible. Sunday school teachers that don't read their Bible. Preachers that don't read their Bible. Song leaders that don't read their Bible. You know what the common denominator is? If you want to be a successful Christian, you have to read your Bible. Period. I mean, like, the old man used to say this time and time again, there's nothing more important than your fellowship, your personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how you access that relationship and that fellowship? It's through the book that's on your lap. I mean, you could try to read all the devotions you want from other people, and you could listen to all the sermons you want, and you could try to sing all the songs you want, but at the end of the day, if you don't spend time in your Bible, you don't know Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, there was a preacher in the area, and he says that, you know, all Ruckmanites, all PBI guys, they know the Bible, but they do not know the God of the Bible. I don't know how you differentiate between the two. Because when you know the Bible, you know who God is. And it's not just the New Testament. Let me put this out there. You have to read your Old Testament too. Because if you want to really see what God's like, read your Old Testament. You know what you see in the Old Testament? What God's going to be like in the future. When He shows back up in the Battle of Armageddon, when He shows up in the Second Advent, you're going to see a lot what God's like in the Old Testament. John chapter number 3, verse number 34. For whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. You know what you find in verse 34 is that you find a preacher's job and calling. If a preacher is called of God, you know what he's supposed to do? He's supposed to give you the word. Period. You listen to preachers nowadays, you know what they're giving? Not the word. They're giving their opinions. They're giving political jargon, if you will. They're giving what's going on in current events. They're giving what's going on in social media, what's going on in the world. That doesn't matter. You know what matters? The Bible matters. Because the Bible is what's going to change you. Listen, what's going on in Minnesota? How does that affect you in eternity? Does it? Don't get me wrong, it's horrific what's going on in our country. But you know what happens? All that stuff is outside noise. That is to distract you as a Christian. What is your job? It's not to fix the political system. You're not going to do that ever. I don't care how many votes you get. You're not going to fix America. You can't. You know why? It's got to go down for Christ to come back. Rather than looking at what's going on in the country, you know what you should do as a Christian? Look for Jesus Christ. Don't look for the Antichrist. Don't look for the next Pope or the heifers. You know what you look for? Jesus Christ. That's it. Looking unto Jesus. It doesn't say looking for the Antichrist. Looking unto Jesus. You need to look for Jesus. Look at chapter number 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Do you know how you got the Holy Spirit sealed inside of you? Through the words. How do you have a life more abundant? Through the word. Matthew 4:4, we all know the verse, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says this, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, do we have every word? What Bible has every word? Does the Textus Receptus have every word? Does the ancient or original languages have every word? Look back in chapter 6 again, John 6:68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Listen, if this Bible is not true, how do I know I'm going to heaven? If it's not 100% pure, if it's not perfect, if this book has one lie in it, it's a book of lies. If that's true, how do I know I'm going to heaven? You know, besides salvation, besides knowing eternal security, the most important thing besides that, I think, is knowing that your Bible is true. Because like the old man says, if you can't trust your Bible, if you can't trust what God said, what can you trust? I mean, think about it. Things are going to get interesting with AI. You won't be able to trust anything you see except your Bible. I think it's great for the church. You know why? It'll help you get your Bible more. Because I know this, these words haven't changed in a very long time. I can trust this book. This is my book right here. I didn't read this on. This is why I don't even like reading my Bible on my blue letter app. You know why? They might change it on me, man. I like this one right here. I know this is set in stone right here. Chapter number 8, verse number 30. John 8:30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. You know what the word does? It helps you to believe. It helps you to believe. I mean, the verse that's on the front of our church right now is Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know why you need to get preached at? Because it increases your faith. And not just get preached at by opinions or philosophies or psychology. You need to get preached on from this word, because this word is going to increase your faith. Look over in John, go to John 12. John 12, verse number 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. This is what modern day Christians love. They love this verse. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And I've heard Christians quote that of, you know, judge not, lest you be judged. Read the next verse. See, what happens is when you take things out of context, when you take things away from what it's surrounded by, who's talking and to whom they're talking to, you know what you find out? You hang yourself spiritually. What does verse number 48 say? And he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Why did he say verse number 47? Well, he's talking about this first advent. When Jesus Christ first came to this world, you know what he did? He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. And what did the world do? What did his own people do? He came unto his own received him not. His blood be upon us and upon our children. That's fine. That's advent number one. You know what he says in advent number two? Verse number 48. If you do not accept my words, you know what I'm going to judge you with? Christian, you know what you're going to get judged by? What's in that book on your lap? Every word. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. According to what? What's the rules? What's the curriculum? It's that book that's in your lap. You have the answers to every test. Someday, if you're saved here, if you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to ask you why you did this, why you thought this, and why you said this, and you're going to get judged on those things from this book. And not a single one of you are going to be able to say, I didn't know any better. I didn't know the Bible. You know what he's going to say? I gave you the answers to the test. It's right here. How much time did you spend studying? You want to ace the test? It's through this right here. Chapter number 8, verse number 47 says this, He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That is one of the greatest proof texts on why you need to be in church. You need to get preached at. There's going to be things that the preacher is going to say that you are not going to like, but it's good for you. You know, sometimes you get sick and you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you medicine, doesn't taste very good, but the doctor says you need to take this because it's going to make you better. That's preaching. That's the Word of God. And the Bible says if you are of God, you'll hear God's words. That's preaching. That's teaching. That's reading your Bible. That's meditating on it. Look at John chapter number 14. How to have fellowship. How to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Do you love the Lord? Do you love God? Well, if you love God, what do you have to do in this equation to have fellowship with God? Keep my words. Let me ask you this. If the Bible's not true, how can you keep His words if you don't have His words? I mean, think about it. If you don't have the words of God, how can you keep them? And if you can't keep them, how can you have fellowship? How can you have a relationship? John chapter number 8, verse 31. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. You know what discipleship is? Continuing in the word. You know what's necessary for your growth as a Christian? Continuing in the word. John chapter number 15, verse number 7. John 15, 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You want help in your prayer life? Meditating on the word, hiding the word in your heart, having the words abide in you. You know, sometimes I think of this, you know, when I was a kid and when I used to pray for things, it always was self-centered. I mean, it's like, you know, I really want to buy a dirt bike, but my mom and dad are mean and they won't let me buy a dirt bike. I have the cash for it, Lord, but they won't let me buy a dirt bike. And I want a dirt bike. And then as you grow up and you get more word in you, you know, you find out it's not all about me. Actually, very little of it is about me. Now it's like, Lord, can you help that kid to sleep so me and my wife don't kill each other? And Lord, help the dog from stop itching because I'm probably going to kill him because it's wintertime and he's got very bad allergies all of a sudden. You know what I find out? When you spend more time in the Bible, you stop thinking about yourself. You start thinking about more about others. You know, I think I've probably prayed more for Brother Peacock in the last 2 weeks than I probably have in my entire life. You say, why is that? Because it's not about me. I didn't just lose my wife of 45 years. I have no idea what that's like. All I can do is think about, Lord, you need to help that guy, because there's nothing I can do. There's no words I have, no things I can say that are going to make it any easier, but Lord, you need to help him. Look at chapter 15, verse number 3. How to take a spiritual shower. 15:3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Same thing over in Ephesians 5:26. You don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church, with the washing of water by the word. John 17:17, look over there. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I mean, we could do this all day and all night and all day and all night. And guess what? We will never finish. You know why? Because you know what the Bible says about itself? It's pure. It's tried. It's true. It's good for everything you need in life. You want a defense? You can get a defense. You want deliverance? It'll give you deliverance. You need comfort. You need mercy. You need grace. It's got everything you need. I mean, a great example is Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How are you able to fight against your flesh, the world, and the devil if you don't have the Word of God? Honestly, you have no shot. It's kind of like this. This is what the world has going on right now. It's like you're going to get in the UFC octagon with the greatest fighter that ever lived, and you have no defense whatsoever because you do not have a Bible. I don't get it. I mean, I struggle enough as is. I got enough of my own problems, and most of them are between my ears, okay? I don't know how you defend against that without having a Bible. Yeah. I would lose my mind. If I didn't know where I was going when I died, if I didn't know how to get cleansed of my sin, if I didn't know how to repent, if I didn't know how to have fellowship with God, I would go nuts. I would lose it. Lastly, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. First Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also we thank we God without ceasing, when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Let me give you something, and we'll close with this, is that do you realize as a Bible believer why you are superior to most other Christians? And I'm not being this to have a big head. I'm not saying this, oh, we're better than everybody else because we have everything figured out. But you know what the Bible says? If you believe the Bible as it is in truth, the Word of God, it effectually worketh in you. What am I saying? Well, can it work in someone who doesn't believe it? Not as well as it can work in you. It works better in you if you believe it. Next week, we're going to pick it up with going over the commandments in the Bible as far as what the Bible has to say about adding to or diminishing or taking out of the Bible. We're going to get into one real quick, a good example of how the Bible has changed things over in Isaiah 14. And then we will get into the wonderful, wonderful packets of manuscript evidence. It's 32 pages. You are going to get bored at some point. But that's okay, because it's good for you. Because a lot of you probably have not learned this stuff. Some of you have. Some of you already went to PBI. You have the same packets that I'm going to be giving everybody, so I will not be giving you a packet because you don't need it. Just bring yours with your original notes from PBI and you'll be fine. But can I get a raise of hands on who would like a packet to fill out? Because it is a lot of pages. I don't want to burn up a lot of pages if you don't want it, if you want one per household. If you don't want it at all, I won't be hurt that bad. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, okay. 20-ish. Okay, that's fine. I'll get those printed next week. So Caleb lost his, so he needs another one. All right, any questions over anything we've covered whatsoever? Questions, comments, or concerns? Yes.
So you said the seventh version was the King
English is the seventh language. It's not the seventh version, because technically speaking, we're going to get into all this of what we call the early English versions of the Bible. So you have things like Tyndale, Coverdale, the Bishop's Bible, the Geneva Bible, the Matthew's Bible, which are all precursors to the King James Bible. But the difference is, and what you're going to find even with the modern versions, is that the King James Bible has no copyright. So nobody makes money off of it. But everything else does. The ESV, the NIV, people are making money. Every time it's sold, they get royalties for it. Nobody gets royalties from the King James Bible. And your King James Bible is the number one best-selling book of all time.
Okay. So what was the, just out of curiosity, what was the original English version of, do you know that? I'm just curious.
In completion, I do not know. Because it was Tyndale only did the New Testament. We'll get into this. It's in your packet. We're going to give all the notes on that stuff, but I can't remember the first, if it was, I think it was Tyndale, but he only did the New Testament first. So if you're talking about a complete Bible, I'll have to look. But yeah, we'll get into all that. You'll have all the notes. Anything else? Why do I have a mustache? Does it look bad? Yes, it does. You'll get used to it. Hmm? Do you have a problem with that? It's the only thing that's going to get you through this class is my upper lip, okay? Trust me, you're going to be sitting there and you're going to be laughing about it, and that's just fine. I'm trying to make things more interesting for manuscript evidence. All right, we'll take a break.